Well, hey, today I want to tell you a story. Can I do that? Can I tell you a story? I want to tell you the story of the most shocking statistic I have ever heard in my life personally, okay? And it happened when I was on a mission trip to this country called Moldova. Has anybody heard of Moldova? I know where you, I saw some of my Moldovan friends in the room. Yeah, Moldova. It's between Romania and the Ukraine. Maybe that's why you've heard of it recently. I don't know. And so I went there on a mission trip. Moldova has a special place in my heart. I actually found a picture. I'm not like a picture keeper kind of guy. I did find one. That's the only one I could find. Back when I had a pre-adult haircut and a metabolism. That's on public transportation. And I don't know what my stare into the camera is about, but... Moldova is where I learned my second language. I learned how to speak Romanian. Bună dimineața, frații și surorii. And a big part of my story, which is what I want to tell today, is where I heard, for me personally, the most shocking stat I'd ever heard in my life, and really, to this day, the largest impact any statistic has ever had on me. So we were on a mission trip, and that's like where you go to somewhere for like 7 to 10 days or 2 weeks or whatever, and you help somebody. And usually it's in partnership with locals or a church there or a nonprofit or something like that, and that's what we were doing. At the time, this is many years ago, Moldova's changed a lot since then, but at the time there were a lot of orphanages in Moldova. There's a lot of children that didn't have parents because a lot of them were leaving to go get money elsewhere in Europe or in America or something like that, and their kids were left behind or in other circumstances. And we were working in one of the largest orphanages in the capital city, Chișinău, Moldova. And what we were doing was like a summer camp kind of thing where part of the goal was just to show up and of course bring aid and assistance, but also just love on kids, you know, because they don't have like a lot of people that pay attention to them and love them. And that's what we were trying to do. And just partnering with locals who were already kind of working on the scenes there and the staff at the orphanage. So we do this the whole week, like 7 days or more. And it's like elementary through high school. And of course, you know, your heart really just breaks, right? And you get to know these wonderful, beautiful children, and you're like, oh, I just love you so much, and I want the world for you, and I hate that this is your situation. So we've done that. Obviously, your heart gets really attached. We're on the last day having dinner, and one of the girls sitting across from me was a local translator. So she was getting paid to translate for us, and of course, she was like on board with it too. She loved these kids; it was incredible. But just a young person that was there translating, and you know, we were having some kind of conversation, and at some point, she said, "You know, nobody really knows how bad it is here." And somebody else piped up and was like, yeah, it's really awful to see like this many kids, tons of kids, you know? It's like this many children that don't have parents and a home and all that stuff. It's heartbreaking. And she said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. And like, well, what do you mean? What's worse than that? And she said, no, I'm talking about what's gonna happen when they graduate from this orphanage. She's like, Darrell over there, this is another guy, and he kind of was a nonprofit dude, a local though, that was working in the orphanage. He's been keeping track of these kids for like years at this point. And she said, let me just tell you this statistic. By the time they graduate the orphanage, and here it comes, 2/3 of the girls and 1/3 of the boys will be trafficked. What did you just say? You mean the children we've just been working with? That's what's gonna happen? Yeah. Our leader, I remember he was like, hey, you didn't mean to say 2/3, right? She's like, no, about at a minimum. And it wrecked me. I mean, as you can imagine, we just spent a whole week with a group of people thinking, man, this is a bad situation. And then it just turns from bad to horrific, right? And I didn't know it at the time, but that conversation would end up changing the trajectory of my life. And I'll tell you part of that story. But first, I want to connect that to you because I bet you've been in a similar situation. Not the same details or the geography, and probably not, maybe not the same degree, but like you've had a moment in your life where something you saw out in the world or in your orbit or in your neighborhood or in your own family made you go, man, somebody should do something about that. Like somebody should do something about that. Because that's what she said to me sitting at the table. She said, someone should do something. Like they don't know how bad it is. Somebody needs to do something about this. Somebody should do something. And that statement has stuck with me, and I bet it stuck with you at some point where something you saw made you go, someone should do something about that. Maybe it was a need in the community, like hunger or homelessness or kids at risk, you know, like some of the stuff we've been talking about through Be Rich recently. Or maybe it was just an evil in the world that shouldn't exist, or somebody's story that went really like downhill. And you're like, man, that shouldn't be anyone's story ever. Like somebody's got to do something about that. Maybe it was closer to home in everyday life, like a tough circumstance that your friend or neighbor was going through, or somebody at your kid's school was being treated a certain way, and then just something in you naturally went, somebody should do something about that. Like, man, I hope somebody's helping them, you know? We have this experience in our lives. You had it, I've had it, where you see something and you witness something and you hear something and you're like, what? No, somebody should do something about that. And if you're anything like me, that's not like all you say, because the first person on your list of somebody's that should do something about it is God. You're like, hello? I mean, God, are you gonna do something? Like, clearly this is in your, you know, this is in your domain, right? Like, this is, you're up, God. Like, are you gonna do something? Are you gonna get involved? Are you gonna address it? Are you gonna change it? Are you gonna meet it? Are you gonna help it? Are you gonna fix it, heal it? You know, whatever. Are you, God, like, surely you're gonna do something. And we talked about this last week. Joel was saying, so correctly pointed out, for a lot of us, this is a stumbling block in our faith, where we go like, God, you should do something. And when he doesn't, or doesn't do what we think he's gonna do, it causes us to question, like, is God really there, or does he really care? You're like, what the heck? And this is exactly all of that. This is exactly what I was feeling at this table, listening to this like 21-year-old girl tell me about what's going on in her country. It just wrecked me. Like, somebody should do something. God, you should do something. And as I was praying about today, I'm like, God, hey, what do you want me to talk about on this Sunday? Because we just got done with the series, and then we're starting a new one. Andy, our senior pastor, is starting a new series next Sunday. And we've got this like one Sunday in between. I'm like, God, what do you want me to talk about? Just got like one Sunday. And this is what I sensed him put on my heart. I just sensed him saying, hey, I want you to tell him about the conversation you had in Moldova. Because God would take this moment in this conversation in my life and shift it. He would take this statement right here, somebody should do something, and shift it in a way that, although was stupidly simple and very obvious, ended up being totally revolutionary. Not only did it change the trajectory of my life, it totally changed this shift that God would use this moment to make in my life. Man, it totally changed my understanding of and my appreciation of what God is doing in the world to fix and to heal and to show up and to rescue. And it's a change, a shift, a stupidly simple yet totally revolutionary shift that, man, I hope happens here. I hope it happens all over our church family at East Cobb Church. Because if it does, it'll change our community. It'll change our community. And I know because it already is. If it does, it will make Jesus irresistibly compelling to our friends and neighbors. If it does, it'll make us the church that God created us to be when he started it 6 years ago. So that's what I wanna do. I'm gonna tell you the story. And my hope is, along the way, that you'll maybe see yourself. And maybe that you'll hear not just God talking to me about my life, that maybe you'll hear him talking to you about yours. That's my goal. And so, back to that dinner table, and hear this stat, wrecks me. I don't know if you ever had something that disoriented you, you know? When you're like, I got life figured out, I kind of have answers to all my questions and got my categories, and then something goes, meow, and you're like, what? I don't know what to do with that. Like, it's not, I don't have an answer for that. It's bothering me. That's how I felt. It just like bothers me. This doesn't seem to fit what I know about God. And like, why does it, you know, I felt disoriented. So I was like, man, I just need to think about this. That's so upsetting. So I grabbed my Bible and I left. I went outside and I was like, I just need to sit for a second. And I just need to think. And so I sat there with my Bible because I'm a Bible nerd. And so I was like, I don't know. I was really just trying to find something to hold on to. And that's actually what I did. I was like, I just need to like back up and focus on like, what do I know? Okay, because this is really upsetting. Like, just what do I know? And for starters, this was my thought process. I was like, okay, for starters, I know that this bothers God. I know this bothers God. Like, because I know our backstory. You know, I know the story from Genesis. I know that God created us for paradise. But then we rebelled against him and tried to replace him. We traded life and light for darkness and death. And that's when sin and death and things like what I just heard came into the world. So I know any time that I mourn the world the way it is right now, and its brokenness, its evil, and the tragedies that happen and the things that should not be, I know any time that I mourn that, God's going, yeah, me too. I know that. And you should know that. Like, you will never out-mourn God over the way the world is. You never will. You'll never be more heartbroken than him over the things you see in this world that ought not to be. And in fact, that was the verse that I flipped over to. I was like just on John 3:16. You know, when in doubt, go back to the most famous verse in the whole world. But it's like, for God so loved the world. He was so heartbroken for the world that he sent his only son. And whoever believes in him will not perish and not be lost, but will have everlasting life. It's like, I know that. The biblical story and the Christian worldview is not that a God who is a distant and uncaring. It's a plane. It's like, what is happening? Where was I? I have ADD, sorry. The Christian worldview is not a God who is aloof and uncaring. No, it's a God who is heartbroken and moving. I'm sitting there like, man, I know that. I know that. I know that this bothers God. I know that he's heartbroken. And I also know that he's a God who moves. Like, I know that about God. God, you're a God who moves. Like, you take action, you know? You're not just sad about stuff. Like, you get involved. Like, you move towards the mess. You move towards the need. You move towards the hurt, towards the hurting and dying. I mean, like, that's what God does. And that was actually one of the passages I flipped to. Like, I remember this passage. Like, I remember that moment, Jesus, when Jesus launched his ministry, he walks into a synagogue. This is the very beginning of his public life. He goes and takes the scroll of Isaiah, that's a prophet in the Old Testament, and he reads this portion right here, that the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because that word's gonna come important in spirit in a second, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, okay? He's sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He reads that, sits down and says, it's been fulfilled in your presence, and then he goes and does it. Like every day of his life after that, as he was doing it. Like he was a literal, we gave us a front row seat to God's response to the hurting and the need and the brokenness and the sin and the evil in our world. And it was awesome. It was everything you'd hope it would be. It's everything you've ever hoped God would do. Jesus was that. Like he fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He set free those that were in bondage to brokenness and oppression. He restored what had been lost. He restored those who'd been cast out of society. He forgave those who were unforgivable or been deemed that way. He defended those who were defenseless. He empowered those who people thought were powerless. He fixed what was broken. He healed what was hurt. He found again what had been lost and thrown away. He provided what was needed. He forgave what was owed. He brought what was dead back to life. You can go read about it. That's what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are about. And in fact, that's what I was thumbing through. And I was just like, man. Like that's what he did every single day. It was awesome. It was awesome. Jesus was showing us real time what God does when his heart breaks. And it was everything you hoped. It's everything you ever hoped God would do. And that's where I was like, no, that's what I'm frustrated about. I was having this little conversation with God, you know, getting all like, eh. I was like, yeah, no, God, that's what I'm frustrated about. That's what's like confusing to me because like, where is that? Where is that? That's amazing, but where is it? I mean, yeah, it was great when Jesus was here. He did all these great things, but then he died for our sins. He rose from the dead and he ascended to heaven and now he's gone. And yo, that's what's missing. I'm like, God, that's what's missing. Where are you now? Your healing hands, they're not here. Your embracing arms, they're not here. Your forgiving heart is not here. Your feet that ran towards the least of these is not here. You know, your mouth that spoke truth, not here. That spirit, a power that you had that like literally did miracles, it's not here. What now, God? Like, where are you now? Why in the world does that even exist? And I was asking that question and I did not get an answer. I probably spent like half an hour out there, which for me was a long time. And nothing. I mean, no leading, you know, no voice, of course. Not even like a nudge, like, or not even like a worship lyric. It was like, oh, I feel better, you know, nothing. I remember being so frustrated. I was just like, you know, like I'm mad. And that was what happened. So I was about to leave and go back inside with a bad attitude and everything. And then I turned in my Bible. I just like flipped over. You know this thing in your Bible? Do you have one of those? If you have like a real actual paper Bible? I don't know those many people have as many of those as anymore. You should if you don't. It's really helpful. A lot of them have this thing where you like keep your place. It's like a built-in bookmark. And mine was in 1 Corinthians for chapter 12 because my quiet time is like I read a chapter a day, you know, and study it and all that. And I was supposed to have read it that morning, didn't, because I was tired, skipped it. And I was like, well, I'm on a mission trip, I can skip a quiet time. I'm like holy enough right now, you know? And, but then I was like, fine, I should knock that out because I hate not meeting my goals. I'm kind of like OCD about that. So I was like, I'll read it, whatever. And so I start reading Corinthians chapter 12. And at first it's kind of like, I don't know if sometimes you do a quiet time, read the Bible, and you're like, this has nothing to do with anything that I'm dealing with in life. And that's how I felt at first. Paul's talking about a body. He's going like, yeah, you know, like in a body, how like the hand can't say to the eye, I don't need you. And the foot can't be like, I'm out, guys. I'm just going to go be a foot. It's like, that doesn't happen because it's a body. That's the whole way it works. So I'm kind of like, okay, whatever. But then he gets down to the place where he goes, and here's why this is important, all this stuff I'm saying about the body. And what he said next was like a punch in the chest. It was as if God hand-delivered a written response to me, his frustrated son, you know, sitting there. What I read next was the shift. Paul says, now, here's why this is important. You are the body of Christ. And every one of you is a part of it. You are the body of Christ. And if I could put my own words around it, I mean, God's like, hey, you're wondering where the body of Christ is, son? You are the body of Christ. No, my hands aren't on the planet anymore. That's why I sent yours. No, my feet aren't present in the world anymore. That's why I moved yours. Yes, I want these kids to hear my voice. That's why you lost yours this week. Yeah, I want them to see, get a glimpse of my heart for them. That's why you poured out yours this week. Yes, I want to leverage and spend time and resources. I want to move the world to protect these kids and love these kids and parent these kids and equip these kids and educate these kids and set them up to find life and life to the fullest. I want to spend resources all day on that. That's why I'm spending yours and hers and theirs and Darrell's and that church over there and this church over there. That's the shift. That was the shift. So simple. So obvious, but so revolutionary and so radical. Because yeah, Jesus was here and it was amazing. I mean, he changed so many lives. He healed and set free and restored and redeemed so many people. But then he left and he passed the baton to you and me. Jesus's plan was not, hey, I was here, it was great, now it's over. Nope, his plan was, I was here, it was great, now you are the body of Christ. I'm ascending to heaven, to the right hand of the Father, and I'm going to send you that word, the Spirit of God, and you're gonna take it from here. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit so that you can continue it on. You are now the body of Christ. And that's like the moment that I had with God. That's what the moment I just felt God lead me to share with you today, this little fatherly moment that I had with him where he was like, hey, you know, son, I love that you love all the stories of the amazing things that I did in the old days when Jesus was here back in the day. But those aren't just stories to read. That's an example to follow. It's your marching orders. Jesus lived, died, rose, and ascended, and now it's your turn. You are the body of Christ. It's why you're there right now. You're my response. You're my solution. And that's where I hope you see yourself in the story. That's where I hope maybe you see yourself in the story, maybe where you hear God speaking to you about your life, not just to me about mine, because there's somebody in your life, there's somebody in your orbit who needs something. Maybe it's as small as a hug or a favor. Maybe it's they need a friend. Maybe they need a word of encouragement. Maybe they need some help. Maybe they need Must Ministries to continue to exist because they need it. They need a home, a place for their kids to go to be safe. Maybe they need a second chance. Maybe they need somebody to believe in them. Maybe they need someone just to show up in their house, you know, invite them over for dinner. There's somebody in your life, in your orbit, who needs to experience for themselves the grace and truth of Jesus Christ. And the point is that God's plan for that, his solution for that is you. It's not that I'm waiting on God. It's that he's been waiting on me to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. And that's where I hope you see yourself in the story. In fact, I brought an illustration today because I like illustrations. I'm like a picture visual processor guy. That's how I remember things. And so I brought an image today that I hope makes it sink in. In fact, I hope this is the image that like pops into your brain annoyingly this next week and makes you think about this. Like, you forget everything else. You're like, oh yeah, that thing. And God is like, bleep, and makes you remember it and maybe think about it on Thursday, you know, or next week. And is this, I brought one of these. This right here is a Wi-Fi router. Look at that thing. That's like mega antennas. Mine does not, this is not mine. This is a lot more antennas than mine has. Maybe I need this one. I think we all got one of these in our house. You know, Wi-Fi these days is pretty much essential for life. I think we'd all agree with that. And this is great, right? So this is how this works. Obviously somebody, Comcast, AT&T, whoever, delivers Wi-Fi to your house, plugs into here, and then this thing is like bleep, 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 and it's just like sending Wi-Fi out into your house. Obviously, you know how it works, and then you can use it. So we all have one of these in our house or apartment or wherever it is you live. And the only problem is some of us have experienced when the Wi-Fi router isn't enough, right? Like some of us know what it's like to have that room. Maybe it's just down the hall or whatever. And for some reason, the Wi-Fi doesn't make it over there. And you're just like, like your TV doesn't work in your bedroom or whatever you have. And you're just like, that's frustrating. Maybe you know what it's like to have that basement office where you're on a Zoom call and it's like, and you're just like, I'm the guy, it's slow and it's embarrassing. I'm on a call, it's a business call. And you're frustrated at your internet. Like this is working fine. It's just not reaching, you know, that room or whatever in your house. And that's why they've created, this is the image. This is what I hope you remember. Wi-Fi extenders. Anybody got a Wi-Fi extender in their house? Anybody got one of these? Yeah, I see a couple hands going up. So Wi-Fi extenders. You can buy one of these, and here's how it works. This does not produce Wi-Fi. There is no Wi-Fi in here. Like, there's nothing. On its own, empty, nothing, dead. But what it does, it connects to this thing. It like goes bleep, and it gets the Wi-Fi signal from the router, and then it amplifies it in a part of the house and to people in the house that do not currently get it. Right, that's what it does. So you can place this in that room or in that basement and it like connects to that router and then just is rebroadcasting, extending the reach of the Wi-Fi. And this is you. This is the point. This is the image. Jesus was here and it was awesome. Man, what he did, the lives he changed, it was incredible. It was amazing, but then he left. But according to him, these are his words, you can go read them. But according to him, what he left behind was even better. What he left behind was even better because he left behind a group of men and women that he called the ecclesia, the gathering. That's what that means, the church. He left behind the church. And the gospel accounts tell us, not long after Jesus ascended, this group that Jesus left behind, they were in what they called the upper room and the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that God, by which God created Adam when he breathed into him, breath and spirit, same word. The same Spirit that was walking around in the body of Jesus, healing and forgiving and restoring and setting free and literally defeating sin and death. That Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, filled this gathering, the ecclesia, this church, these men and women. And when the Holy Spirit of God filled those men and women, he turned them into this. Yes. Hope that phone's okay. Turn them into this. And the command was, and these are Jesus' words, the command was, okay, now go fill the house. Now go fill the house. Or his words were actually this, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. Everybody say witnesses. Yeah, you'll be my witnesses. And you're gonna do that in Jerusalem, that's your home, and in Judea, that's your area, and in Samaria, that's the broader region, and to the utter ends of the earth. And they did. And what happened next is what changed the world. That's why we're here today. And I just want to tell you, the only thing that's different about today as compared to then is that it's your turn. This is my turn. It's ECC's turn, East Cup Church's turn to be the body of Christ wherever we are, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Not because we're so perfect or we're so powerful. We're not. Not because we can like heal and save people. We can't. I can't. I don't know if you can't. But we know the one who can. We're connected to the one who can, and he lives in us, and he has sent us to be one of these. And that's the opportunity. And I would even say it's the calling that you have every single day as a Jesus follower. If you're not a Jesus follower, this is what you're invited to be. This is the thing you're invited into, the opportunity to be an extension, to be a local manifestation, to be an imperfect replication and conveyor of the presence and the power and the provision and the posture of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. It's the opportunity that you and I have every day. And here's the coolest part. Here's the coolest part. Whereas he was one, we're many, right? And I just want you to imagine for a second. If he did what he did with his one body, man, what do you think he could do with all of our bodies? That's pretty wild to think about, isn't it? That's crazy. Like, he fed the hungry, but all together, we could move the needle on hunger in our community. In fact, you're already doing that through your generosity to Must Ministries. That's already happening. Man, he comforted those who were mourning, those who were afraid. Man, but all of us together, we could move the needle on anxiety and loneliness in our community. I mean, think about across all of our neighborhoods and all of our workplaces. Oh my gosh. He preached the gospel of God, of Jesus, to Jerusalem and Galilee, but all together, we could preach the gospel all over North Atlanta or to the globe with the global church all over the world right now. That's what Jesus meant when he said this. These are some hard words of his to understand. A lot of people read this and they're like, I don't know what that means. But he said this, this is what he meant. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, but not just that, they're gonna do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Why are you gonna do any greater things than these? Because you're one of these. And whereas he was one, you're many. I mean, I'm not gonna do things greater than Jesus, but together, the impact that we could have, that's his plan. That's his plan. And this was the simple yet revolutionary shift that God made in me or invited me to make. Hey, somebody should do something about this. Oh, no, wait, I should do something about this because I am the body of Christ. And for me, I decided, much to my parents' shock, but they were amazing. But I decided that for me, that meant after college, instead of going to law school, I moved to Moldova for almost 3 years and just fought sex trafficking in that country. And that was crazy. I mean, talk about a crazy decision to make. Yeah, it was crazy. And it was hard. But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you one thing. I got to see the things that I've been reading about in here start happening in Chișinău, Moldova. In orphanages, and it was awesome. I mean, you saw the guy in that picture. I didn't have anything, nothing, no ability, not much skill, but God wasn't really concerned with that. I got to see him do stuff and begin to build something that's still going to this day. It's amazing. And I would have to be a little part of it. And I got to see him grow me. I got to see him direct my life in ways that I've never seen him do before. And the reason I have wanted to tell you this story and my point today is simply this. I wanna invite you, I wanna challenge you as your pastor to make the same shift today. I want you to make the same shift with me right here at East Cobb Church. And I know some of you already have, so I guess what I'm saying to you is let's double down. Let's double down right here today. As East Cobb Church. I'm not saying go move abroad. No. In fact, what I'm actually saying is go be one of these right here. Go be one of these where you live. Go love where you live. We say this all the time. Go be one of these wherever you live. Go start asking God, hey, how do you want me to be a Wi-Fi extender? Or, you know, if you want to be literal about it, God, how do you want me to be the hands and feet of Jesus? How do you want me to do that? God, what's one way? With whom? How and with whom? How and with whom do you want me to be the body of Christ? And here's why I want you to ask that, because the answer is already there. You just haven't asked the question, perhaps. And that was me. I just didn't know. I didn't understand what was going on. I wasn't asking the right questions. Sometimes when you start asking the right questions, you realize the answer's been there the whole time. The answer's already there. Like I said, somebody in your life already, right now, somebody in your orbit right now, they need a hug or a friend or a word. Or some help, or your time, or whatever. They need to hear about Jesus. They need you to show up. And God's plan for that is you. You're not waiting on him. He's waiting on you and me. That's the opportunity. So I'm gonna challenge you to do that. I wanna invite you to do that together with me. And because I'm I'm a practical guy, and I really need specifics sometimes. Like, general principles are great, but I'm like, tell me what to do. I wanted to give you some ideas. Sometimes you gotta hear some practical things, and it's gonna like, light bulb goes on in your head. But my hope is that you're gonna go back to your life, and you're gonna have fresh eyes looking for people who need Wi-Fi. And to get you going, I wrote a list of five things just as a start. I'm calling them ways to be Wi-Fi, okay? Ways to be Wi-Fi. Here we go. And maybe it's gonna prompt something in you. So I just want you to think through the grid of your life, and maybe you've never asked this question before. Right now, just right now in your heart, be like, God, what's he talking about for me? What does this look like for me? I'm gonna give you some ideas. Maybe something's gonna come to mind. Number one, prayer. Prayer moves things on earth to be more like they are in heaven. It's not just a ritual that we do. And yes, it brings you closer to God for sure. But prayer God gave us as a way to make things on earth more like they are in heaven. And chances are somebody in your life needs you to pray for them because it does move things. It needs you to pray for them. Like, God, help them. God, be with them. God, heal them. God, protect them. And you're just gonna like, without them even knowing, you're gonna come up to the edge of their life and you're just gonna be like, vroom, 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 and you're gonna pray for them. Number two, maybe it's encouragement. Maybe somebody in your life needs some encouragement. Proverbs tells us that words have the power of life and death, and maybe somebody needs you to speak life into them, speak truth into them and over them. And maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe you already know there's somebody in your life that you need to like go be this for, and you need to stand in for the voice of God in their life as best you possibly can. He has a whole book about it you can quote. It really helps a lot. And maybe you just need to come into somebody's life and vroom, 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 speak encouragement into your life. Number three, maybe it's presence. Maybe it's somebody doesn't need your words. They just need you to show up. They need your presence, you know? There's strength in numbers. Like the proverb says that a cord of three strands is not easily broken. By myself, I'm easily broken, but together I'm not, right? And maybe there's somebody in your life that just needs you to show up and show them that God cares because you care. They need to show you to show up and just have fun with them or cry with them or distract them from whatever's going on in your life, you know? Perhaps somebody in your life needs you to show up. They need you to be a neighbor or be a friend or be a good coworker and go show up on God's behalf. Because they're gonna ask the question, where is God? And the answer is right here. He sent me. I'm here in Jesus' name, you know? Number four, maybe it actually is provision. This is the obvious one. This is the easy one in this season, right? Maybe somebody actually needs like physical help, needs you to actually help them and give, you know, whether it's a thing you give or money you give, whether it's directly to them or indirectly to an organization that's helping people in that category. You're like, man, God, that breaks my heart, that issue. Who's doing something about that? That's what Be Rich is. Be Rich is who's doing something about that. Let's support them. We don't need to create something new. They're doing an awesome job. What if we just came around them? Maybe it's that for you. Maybe that's what God's gonna put on your heart because he is sending provision and protection to the needs of this world, and he is sending it through you and through me. Or the last one, we can't ever forget about this one. Maybe it's the gospel. You know, who in your life is wondering if God's there, if he loves them, what he has to say to them? I know there's probably somebody, and maybe God's response is actually you. He's like, hey, would you just like walk up to their life and show them my love? Answer their questions, invite them to church. You're my plan. I've strategically positioned you next to them with one of these, and I need you to be like, boom, 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 boom. Maybe you do that, I don't know. But that's just a start. Those are five to get you thinking. Who in your world needs you to be the hands and the feet of Jesus? This is just a start. My challenge to you is to just ask God to show you one opportunity, one person. My challenge is simply to do for one. We say this a lot around our church. The whole phrase is do for one what you wish you could do for everyone, right? You don't have to do it for everyone. Just start with one. That's enough. And you know why that's enough? Because 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 + 1, that's a lot. And I'm telling you, if we did this, we'd change our community. If we started doing this or continued doing this, those of you who are, we would make Jesus irresistibly compelling to our friends and our neighbors. And if we did this, we'll be the church that he created us to be. And the cool part is that it's already happening. Man, it's already happening. That's the coolest thing about our church that I love. I mean, it makes me so grateful to be a part of it. There's at the core of this church is a group of people that have been like, this is how I'm gonna live all the time. And you inspire me and it's amazing. And I hear the stories all the time in my position. Like I get the emails. I mean, we have stories from Be Rich. We got stories from community groups. We got stories from just neighborhoods. We got stories from strangers. I do get emails from random strangers. Be like, hey, I just want to tell you what somebody from your church did. And it was awesome. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe. I don't even remember your name. I get those emails. It's incredible. Too many stories to count, but I do want to end by telling you one. I want to tell you the story of Paige. Paige is a friend, and she's a part of your church family. This is your church family. And Paige, for the last season, went through a really dark time in her life. A season that, and she'll tell you, you'll hear it in a second, that she wasn't sure she was going to get out of. And the thing that's been continually emotional for me, being a part of the story, was she asked her husband at one point, like, where in the world is God? Why isn't he showing up? And Adam's response was, babe, what do you mean? Look at all these people he's sending. Look at all these people that are showing up. Like, it was the body of Christ. God was there. God was showing up. God was walking with her through friends, through neighbors, the brothers and sisters in Christ who just said, I'm here. And it was the hands and feet of Jesus that lifted her out of the darkness and into the light. And today she's getting baptized. And so I wanted you to hear her story because I think you're gonna see yourself in it. But it also might inspire you to ask the question like never before, God, how do you want me to be the hands and the feet of Jesus? So let's hear the story, Paige.
I'm Paige. I'm a mom to two kids, an amazing husband, Adam. I went to a small church, the only church in our town. My dad was a Sunday school teacher and an elder. My mom was a deacon. Jesus was in my life since I was little. I grew up my whole life knowing him. Our family has been through hard things, but it never really shook me until this year. In March, I ended up having an anxiety attack that sent me down a spiral that got so dark. I couldn't eat. I couldn't get out of bed. I cried for days. It was like my body, it felt like it was dying. Look, guys, this was not just like a panic attack that happened for a couple days. This was not even 40 days. This was probably like 4 months. It was really, really hard and really, really scary. I was able to reach out to some of my closest friends, Natalie, Lisa, and Sarah in particular. Were three girls that just really stepped up. I think they sat with me for hours when I cried. I can vividly remember the weekend that I was at my lowest point. I kept having visions of being in like a boxing room. I woke up that morning being in this boxing room, curled up in a ball in the corner. And it was like kind of like a dark shadow, if you can imagine, like a dark rain cloud almost hovering over majority of the boxing ring, like just there. And Jamie was actually over hanging out with my husband. And before he left, I said, I need you to pray with me because I'm really scared. And I don't know what to do. Jamie, of course, was like, all right, we're going in. Let's go into your vision. What's going on? I kind of described it. And he was like, we're going to ask Jesus to step into this space. And so we started praying, Adam, me, and Jamie. What felt like one of the scariest, boldest prayers I've ever done. Jamie invites Jesus into this space. And he's like, Lord, show up for Paige, whatever that might be. And all of a sudden, in my vision, kind of like if you walked into a dark room and you open the door, you can see the light from outside on the floor. And so I'm laying in this corner and I just see the light on the floor. And all of a sudden, the dark shadow gets like a wind blows it to the side. The next thing that I see is just a hand, like reaching down like that. And I kind of like go, I reach up to grab it. We kind of like stepped back, and Jamie just kind of like preached to me, kind of was like, hey, you know, the Holy Spirit can show up. And he did. God showed up. He did that through my friends. He did that through my husband. There were so many times that I kept screaming, God, where are you? And I can look back now for certain and say, my friends, the group of women that are in my life, my husband, our pastor, they showed up to me as Jesus. They were the hands and feet of Jesus. I'm sure it was scary for them. And also, maybe they didn't know how to handle me or know what to say, but their presence, their support, their prayers. I mean, one of them would come and literally tuck me into bed at night. Another one would literally call me, listen to me at 4 a.m. and cry and pray with me. You know, in one of the verses that was really special for me was, and everybody knows it, but a verse that we all know is in Philippians 4:5-6. Do not worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. And one of my friends pointed out the four words before that. The Lord is near. God has not left you. He's there. God's near. I'm choosing to get baptized today because Jesus showed up in my life these last like 6 months. The enemy didn't take me out. I thought I was gonna go down. I mean, it felt that way. And it's kind of just like a celebration too, right? With Jesus and going, yeah, you carried me. My name is Paige. I love Jesus. He's my savior, my best friend. And yeah, let's get baptized.
Hey, thank you for telling that story. It took a lot of courage to say all that. And it's really powerful. And powerful for what God did, powerful for what, and I can't even see the light so bright, but there's a lot of your friends here, those people who are the hands and feet of Jesus right over here. Way to go, guys. And they love you. We love you. Sarah and I love you and your family, and it's an honor to be you guys' friends. You know, I was trying to think of what to say in this moment because there's just so much to say, but I'll say this. I think one of the things that was most inspiring to me was, you remember when we had swim practice and I was there with Cash, wherever you are, there he is. And I think Addie or Parker or somebody was there, but you were walking around the little lap and you're just, I looked up and I was like, oh, there's Paige. And you were just trucking around the lake praying with worship music in. And you kept walking with Jesus, even when it got hard and dark and confusing and scary, but you kept walking with him. Because he was walking with you. Your faith in Jesus, it didn't break on the darkness. The darkness broke against your faith in Jesus. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And that inspired me. And I'm going to remember that for the rest of my life. Watching you walk anyway. I'm going to keep walking. Because I know that he's going to come through. And he did. And it's because of your profession of faith in Jesus that I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I think I have confetti on me, as usual. Oh, man. Well, hey, what I hope you take away from this story and this baptism, you never know what hangs in the balance of being the hands and feet of Jesus. You just don't know. You don't know what hangs in the balance. of your decision to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So don't listen to the excuses. I don't know about you. I always have this excuse in my head of like, what in the world can I do? Like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't have that much to offer. And I just want to remind you, there was a time when Jesus needed to feed 5,000 people. And what did he use? Some of you know it, right? There was a boy, yeah, 5 loaves and how many fish? Two fish. God has used a lot less to do a lot more than whatever you have. So just go be the hands and feet of Jesus, okay? Because you have no idea what hangs in the balance. We're gonna close with a worship song. It's called Witness, or it's about I'm gonna be a witness. We talked about that word today. And what I want you to hear in this song, just use this time to ask God or let God tell you, maybe speak to you, how do you need to go be a witness of the presence and the power and the provision and the posture of Jesus Christ, our Savior? And not only do I want you to ask that, but if you are going through something, like maybe you resonated with some of the stuff she's going through, I want you to hear this song sung over you, that God is with you and we are with you. And the hands and feet of Jesus are open and available to you right here, right now. And so why don't we stand and let's just declare before God, how do you want me to be a witness of your body to this community? Let's go.
Yeah. for talent, yes, for talent. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by. Come on, if you need that truth. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by. That's our call. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Yeah. All right. So let's go do it. Go be the hands and feet of Jesus. Just ask God, hey God, one way. Open my eyes, just let me see one way. Don't forget, he's done a lot more with way less than whatever you have to offer. So let's go be it. I'm praying for you, pray for me. By the way, if you watch that baptism story and you're like, I'm there, and you would like somebody to pray for you, we would love to. I'm gonna be right here. I'd love to pray for you. Or we can meet and get coffee, talk through what you're going through. Or we have prayer team. We'd love to come around you. Be your church family, okay? So come say hey, be right down here. You can email me. But we're gonna continue this vibe. If you'd like prayer, come down front. But congrats to the Knapp family. Thank you to all friends and family who are here. Y'all are amazing. Don't forget, Serve Day coming up on the 18th. Be there, it's gonna be awesome. We love you. Go love where you live. See you next Sunday.